The six-week rally in global share markets came to an abrupt halt last week as the US Federal Reserve poured cold water over any hopes of a snapback in the world's largest economy. More than 20 states in the US are also seeing an increase in the number of new coronavirus cases, as Matt was just mentioning, raising concerns about a second wave of the epidemic just as business activity is resuming in the US. Our senior business correspondent Cheryl Bagwell is with us. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Fran.
So global share market, Cheryl, took a reality check last week. Is this likely to herald the start of some kind of sustained downtrend, do you think?
Well, possibly not, but we should expect wild gyrations in the market over the coming months as governments try and steer a way out of this crisis. The US, though, is of particular concern, given it's still the world's largest economy. I mean, on the negative side, as you said, infection rates are still rising in many states across the US, not helped, of course, by the mass protests that are still continuing. The US Federal Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, also released a quite somber outlook for the economy. There, he said it would remain weak for years, and as a result, interest rates would have to remain at record lows of near zero for some time. It was that really triggered the massive sell-off last week. The Dow Jones plummeted 7% on Thursday, and that pulled down markets everywhere at the end of last week, including Australia's. As you said, it was really a reality check. I mean, shares had been rallying for weeks, defying really the bad news in the US economy, so something had to give. But it's really the other action by the Fed, its massive program of quantitative easing, or what it calls digital money printing, that's going to probably keep a floor under the markets, certainly under the market sell-off for some time. I mean, basically money is so cheap and the returns on bonds so small that there's basically little else but equities for people to put their money in. Indeed, we've seen an increasing number of people with time on their hands, perhaps spare cash in their pockets because they've got nothing else to spend it on during the lockdown, turn to share trading. I mean, normally a jump in the number of speculative retail investors is a good time to actually get out of the market. But look, these are not normal times. And indeed, futures trading is pointing to a small rise in trade when the Aussie market opens this morning, Fran, because Wall Street did turn positive again on Friday.
Well, don't forget, pubs, clubs and casinos have been closed too. Can we expect a lot more volatility in the markets as the US presidential election approaches in November?
Look, that's a real possibility, and we're already seeing that. I mean, polls are now showing Donald Trump losing ground to his Democrat rival Joe Biden. It's very rare for a US president not to win a second term, but Trump does appear to be rapidly losing support among voters, not just over his handling of the pandemic, but his handling of the protests in the wake of the killing of George Floyd in police custody. Now, that's a worry to Wall Street. Why? Well, a Democratic victory could threaten policies championed by Trump, such as lower corporate taxes, fewer regulations. But look, there's also concern about how Trump might react to continuing poor polls. I mean, if he thinks he's going to lose, will he pull on a full-blown trade war with China to fire up his base before November? I mean, that's a real concern, and markets hate uncertainty, as we know, but 2020 is turbocharging that by a warp factor, particularly when you throw in an election involving Donald Trump, Fran.
Yeah, I think you can safely say there's some turbulent times ahead. Here in Australia, Cheryl, investors are worried about the pace of the economic recovery too, of course. Key jobs data out this week will provide some important clues.
Yes, on Thursday we get the official jobs report for May. Tomorrow the ABS also releases a more timely survey on household impacts of COVID and some weekly payroll numbers. But it's the May report that everybody's going to be looking at. Economists expect to see less jobs destruction in May than in April, mostly because the business closures had already happened. You'll recall nearly 600,000 people, Australians, lost their jobs in April, and the unemployment rate rose to 6.2%. The market is expecting job losses in May in the range of 75,000, with the jobless rate ticking up to 7%. But look, there's a wide range of forecasts for the jobless rate in the market at the moment because basically, no one really knows how to define unemployment anymore. I mean, we've got 3 million people on JobKeeper, many of them in zombie jobs. We've got 500,000 people who simply stopped looking for work last month. I think the big concern, though, now is really what is going to happen after the September 24 cutoff date for JobKeeper. Will everyone get their jobs back, or will many find themselves back on the unemployment queue again outside Centrelink? I spoke with Jo Masters. She's EY Oceania's chief economist.
That's absolutely a concern. And it's very hard to know, you know, how big those queues may look like, because we're only now getting a sense of, as we ease restrictions, how easy is it for firms to open up? So how many have been able to survive? And even though we're easing restrictions, there are still restrictions in place that may impede the ability of firms to open back up and hire back all of their staff. So if you think about a restaurant or cafe, whilst we're now opening up the number of people they're allowed, they still need to adhere to that 4 square meter per person rule. So it's actually quite hard to get an underlying reading. But it does seem likely that not everyone on JobKeeper will be able to get their job back, and therefore we could see an increase in unemployment. I mean, the government's clearly already talking about this and looking at ways of continuing some level of support for those industries that have been directly and very significantly impacted.
Where do you see the jobless rate rising to? I mean, possibly now in the September quarter or even in December. Economists are still saying between 8 and 10%. Do you think it will have to go higher before it starts coming down?
I guess we have been doing a little bit better on a number of metrics than we had expected when economists first started to put COVID-related forecasts out there. So, as you said, looking for 8 to 10%, I actually think it now may be closer to 8 than 10, mainly because the unemployment rate at the moment hasn't risen quite as much as we had expected, and we have had a lot of support in there, and we are opening the economy up a little bit faster than we had expected. So those that, you know, can get back to work once they come off JobKeeper, those businesses that are back up and running will hire people. I guess if we step back, though, we will continue to have elevated underemployment. So that's people that have a job but aren't working as many hours as they would like to. And that's also really important because that impacts household income. And at the end of the day, it's household income that we need to support in order to support the economy.
That's Jo Masters, Chief Economist with EY Oceania. Finally, Cheryl, what else could move the markets this week?
Well, we get retail sales data for May on Friday, and that's expected to show an 8% rebound in spending, but from record lows the previous month. Iron ore prices too are moving markets at the moment. It's going up. It's up nearly 2% to nearly $105 over the weekend, a ton of iron ore. That might explain why Rio Tinto iron ore chief Chris Salisbury still has his job, Fran. I mean, we've got more leaked reports this morning, this time in the AFR, in which he seems to be telling staff the miner is not sorry for blowing up the Juukan Caves in the Pilbara, just sorry for the distress it's caused. A reputational hit to a company of this magnitude would normally see heads roll, but so far no one has lost their job at Rio. Meanwhile, the Aussie dollar has slipped with the market last week. It's currently buying 68.4 US cents and 60.7 euro cents, Fran.
Cheryl, thank you very much. Cheryl Bagwell, our senior business correspondent.